Our Father, we do thank you that you have spoken these words to us, that they are words of comfort and assurance. They are words of help and peace. And so we pray that as we come to you now, our refuge and our strength, that we would always look to you, that our eyes would always be lifted up to you, that we would be strengthened and made secure in our faith, knowing your love and your care. Amen. Well, as I look out at this church, I see people who have suffered and who are suffering. People who are full of fear, who have been at least full of fear and heartache, despair, pain. Who felt that everything is stacked against them and that the attacks just keep coming and coming. There are attacks against your health. It's one diagnosis, one surgery, one treatment after another. Attacks against your loved ones as you see them suffering, hurting, struggling with their own issues. Attacks against your heart as you face disappointment after disappointment. And so where can we go? What can we do when our world turns upside down, when all of our expectations are thrown out the window, when our hopes are stomped on, when the ones that we love are gone and will never come back? None of us can escape suffering. We all know that. As much as we try to bar the gates of our hearts, this world just keeps banging away, trying to get in, trying to make us falter in despair and hopelessness. Jesus, you might remember, told this story of the seed that fell among the rocky ground, which sprang up quickly, but then began to wither away because of suffering and persecution. What can we do? Where can we turn to so that we don't wither? So that our faith remains strong even through heartache, even through pain? When it comes to suffering and struggle, the Psalms are a rich source of comfort, and I hope that you make use of them. And one of those Psalms that we can turn to is this Psalm, Psalm 46. In the midst of our fears and struggles, we need Psalm 46. We need to know that while it feels like the world is against us, we have a God who protects us, who keeps us safe. Psalm 46 tells us when we're afraid, hurting, struggling, it tells us find refuge in God. And verses 1 to 7 give us the first reason that we can find refuge in God. Because God is our very present help. Verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. To us scared and worried people, Psalm 46 speaks with a calm and sure voice. It gives us a firm foundation to stand on. So if you don't know God, but you want solid ground to stand on during the trials of this life, then listen to this psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In our fears and distress through the pressures of this world, we have a sure hope, God himself. When the world attacks with hatred and misunderstanding, and it feels like the ground beneath us is about to give way, we can find refuge in God. In Him we are safe and secure. He is always with us. He is always there to help us in our troubles. This knowledge that God is a very present help is why the psalmist can say in verses 2 and 3, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth, even the earth, be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." Knowing that God is our very present help gives the psalmist confidence and hope for the future, even while he struggles against the world that is against him. Against the world which feels as powerful and threatening as earthquakes and mountains moved and mighty waves of chaotic waters. Now, notice, of course, what the psalm doesn't say: that the waves stop because God is our refuge and strength. It doesn't say that nothing is damaged, that everything works out nicely in this life because of God. No, this life will be full of pain, hardships, and trial. People will hate us and slander us. We will suffer hurts. But it does promise that we don't have to fear. Whatever happens to us, if we have God as our very present help, we will be safe no matter what comes. God is not our refuge from trouble. He is our refuge in trouble. And that is a big difference. But how does it work? How is God our very present help in trouble? What about a man like Lee Jones, an IT specialist and a Christian? He was fired from his job a few years ago because after being given the task to work on the Safe Schools program, a program which wants to undermine traditional biblical views about gender, he expressed concerns about it, about the program. Now, he was still willing to do the job, but that didn't matter. He mentioned that he wouldn't want his own kids to be taught some of the more controversial aspects of the program. And for that, he was fired. How can God be our very present help in trouble when our families have turned against us because of the gospel? When the future is uncertain and scary? When the answers don't come? What about for our brothers and sisters around the world being arrested because they own Bibles? Because they won't offer sacrifices at the Hindu temples, or they won't attend the mosque. Verses 4-7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And now we see what the symbolic storms and earthquakes of verses 1 to 3 were pointing towards. It's not quite spelled out here, but you get the impression, the clear impression, that the city of God, Jerusalem, is under siege. Enemy nations have come, eager for her downfall, ready to laugh and mock as they suffer defeat. And so it's no wonder that this city is glad about water. In the days without taps, when you're surrounded by the enemy and so you can't go outside the walls to get anything, you become reliant on what you have within the walls. And Jerusalem had a pretty good deal when it came to water. God was with them in their struggle. He was their very present help. In the midst of the wild chaos of the waters, symbolising the threat of the nations around them, in the midst of all of that, there is a soft flowing river. While they struggle with a siege and all the horror that a siege could bring, they will not fear. They will not fall. God is with her, symbolized by the temple where they can pour out their fears, their requests, and come out refreshed, confident in the provision of God. Why can we find refuge in God? Because he is our very present help. How is he our very present help? Because he gives us what we need. Jerusalem had water. But what does God give us? How does he help us now, while we go through trouble and face the scorn of the world, while we face heartache and pain? Well, God helps us in too many ways to count, in too many ways to list. His word, Jesus' example, our church family. That's just a start. But let's focus on just one help that God gives. God gives us himself. You see, Jerusalem was the place that God dwelt, it says in verse 4. God was in the midst of her, verse 5, because the temple was there. And we have God within us now because we are the temple of God. God's Spirit dwells in us, the guarantee of what God has promised us, helping us in our weakness. As we groan in our struggles, Paul says that the Spirit also groans. Metaphorically, the Spirit groans, praying to the Father for us, praying that we would stand firm, that God would achieve his purpose for us in our suffering. When we're hurting so much that we don't even know what to pray, and the sobs won't even let words come out of our mouths, there is still one who prays for us. God's Spirit himself. This is a wondrous help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is no cliche. God was with his people in Jerusalem, giving them what they needed. God is truly with us by his Spirit. Incredibly, God the Spirit prays to God the Father for us. He is a true help. Verse 6 gives us hope that the momentary battles and struggles, they are all under God's power. He just needs to speak, and those against us melt. Notice in verse 5, God's city doesn't fall, despite all the ragings of the world around them. But at God's voice, the kingdoms fall. The earth melts. When we're terrified by the world and by the hardships that it brings, by what it threatens to do to us, Psalm 46 encourages us to make this God our refuge, because he is our very present help. In all of our struggles, in all of our sufferings, he is our very present help. The hope of verse 6 and the great summary of verse 7 leads us to verses 8 to 11. The psalmist says to find refuge in God because God will bring peace. God will bring peace. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. While verse 6 points to the defeat of enemies in this life, in these final verses we see God's ultimate victory, our ultimate salvation. Verse 6 pictured those surrounding Jerusalem melting at God's voice. But from verse 8, we zoom out to see what God will do at the very end of time all over the world. And to us frightened people, the psalmist says, come. Come and see the works of the Lord. See what he'll do not only to those who are immediately threatening you now, but to all people who war and rage. We look at the news each day and we see the wars that rage. Syria, Ukraine, the terrorism in Europe and Asia and Africa. Even in Australia we have battles. More sophisticated, sure, but still battles. A war of slander and ridicule between the Coalition and Labour. The battles on the roads that we drive on each day, and the tension, the hostility, and even the violence that we sometimes experience even inside our own homes. Don't you long for world peace? It's a very Miss Universe kind of statement, isn't it? Very stereotypical. We long for the bad guys in that war to either stop clinging to power or to stop trying to grasp hold of power. We long for cooperation instead of name-calling, for gracious forgiveness instead of the desire for revenge. The psalmist encourages us to watch the works of the Lord. And what will he do? He'll bring desolations on the earth. He brings judgment to bring peace. He doesn't try and gently persuade the world to put their weapons down. No, instead, he forces the wars to cease by destroying all weapons of war. In our troubles, we can find refuge in God because he brings peace. God will bring peace, and he'll do it by bringing judgment on the violent. But it won't just happen on that global scale. It will happen in our homes as well. For those who are violent, whether in their homes or on the street with strangers, these verses demand obedience. Be still and know that I am God. Now, many people tend to see this as a really nice verse. A verse that calls us to sit down quietly and contemplate God. Now, if that's the kind of verse that you're after, have a look at Psalm 100, verse 3. That's a great verse for that. But this verse here in Psalm 46 is actually saying something quite different. The audience has changed for a moment in the psalm. Now, the psalmist is talking to the warmongers, the violent, who will be overthrown by God. He says to the person who raises his voice in anger, shut your mouth. Put down your fists. This isn't a nice, reassuring, whispered moment of assurance here. This is like Jesus when he told the raging storm, quiet, be still. For those who yell and scream and throw fists at home, be still and know that he is God. He will bring judgment on the violent because he wants the world, he wants your home to be full of peace. God will not tolerate violence. And when there is peace, God will be exalted in the earth, praised by the people that he has saved. The psalm ends by turning back to the sufferer in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This was real to the psalmist. He found refuge in God. And so should we. He knew in verses 1 to 7 that God is a very present help in trouble, and in verses 8 to 11 that he will bring peace. Psalm 46 doesn't deny reality. We're not simply supposed to just imagine the pain away when we suffer, whether it's through tragedy or persecution or any other hardship. Though we groan through our suffering, we can trust that one day there will be peace. But how can we find refuge in God? We want him to be our very present help. We want to experience this peace that he will bring. How? Only by coming to Jesus Christ. Psalm 2 tells us, "Kiss the Son. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Come to Jesus Christ. Love him and submit to him. Nothing else will save you. You will not find a secure refuge in money. The stock market won't help you. Insurance won't help you. Your friends, your family, all of them can disappoint you. They might even turn against you. They aren't a sure refuge through the trials of this life, through the dangers and wars and troubles and hardships. And come to him. Come to Jesus. Repent of your violence, your hostility towards God and his people. Turn away from your sin if you haven't already, and be blessed by taking refuge in Jesus Christ. He died to save us from our sin and its consequences, one of which is suffering. He rose to give us hope for the future, a world without suffering. Find refuge in him. For those of us who have taken refuge, hold on to him. Remember, he is a very present help in trouble. And trouble will come. Paul said that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We will face trouble of every kind. But he is a very present help. And one day God will bring peace. So find refuge in God. What are you tempted to turn to in your times of pain? What do you feel the need to do? Do you drink? Is that where you find escape? Do you eat? Shop? Do you distract yourself from your pain by, instead of focusing on your pain, you get angry and you lash out at others? Is it in the TV that you find escape? What is it? Where do you turn to when the pain and the heartache is just so raw, so real, that you feel like you will break? When it doesn't just feel like the waters have come up to your neck, but that you're actually drowning in an ocean of despair. What do you do? Turn to God and find refuge in him. Find refuge in the Son who bore the weight of your sin, promising you an eternal home with him. Don't hide from your pain, but pour it out to the one who intercedes for us, to the Father. Through the persecutions and the hardships, the fear of the future, find refuge in God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are our stronghold. You are our refuge. You are our strength. Though we suffer, though we struggle, though the pain of this life can be so real, so raw, you are a good and a gracious God. You give us what we need. You give us yourself. And so we pray that our faith, our trust would be in you, knowing that you are good and kind. Our Lord, we pray that you would keep us safe in our Lord Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.